is a good thing, and I am definitely thankful for that. You're visiting with us this evening. Boy, truly, you are our honored guest, and we're thankful that you are here with us. Please provide us with a visitor's card if this is your first time visiting with us, and we will recognize you at the end of our services today. Several weeks ago, our dear brother Dennis preached a sermon from John chapter 9. And I was touched by the lesson that he gave on that particular evening. But then it raised some questions in my mind. And the questions are, the question that raised, what caused them to think that this blind man was cursed, or who sinned, in other words? What caused them to think? So, you know, immediately you want to answer questions that are raised in your own head. So I started doing some research. If you'll turn there to John chapter 9 with me, and I left my glasses on the bench, and let's look there right quick. And we want to look at four verses, and I'm not preaching what Dennis preached, because Dennis already has done that. Thank you, Brother Fred. This old man can't see anymore. Need some eyes. Okay, and we want to look at just the first five verses here. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So I asked the question, is blindness a sin? It's blindness, a sin, because, you know, they had to be thinking it was in order for them to suggest I ask this question to Jesus. Well, I discovered that there were several things in the Old Testament that would point towards blindness. I discovered that, first of all, God didn't want you to offer any blind sacrifices to him. Man. You know, that was like a curse. And then the main reason was that if you were blind or born handicapped for some reason, you became a burden to the family, simply because the family depended so much on the children to help raise crops and to do certain things around the house. Well, this individual was handicapped and could not perform those normal duties that a person that could see could do. You know, there was a point where there could never be a blind priest, a high priest. Well, we know Eli was blind, but he became blind over old age, just like I can't see without my glasses, and most of you can't see without your glasses. Age has caught up with us. But that's not a sin. Physical blindness, in which Dennis pointed out, is not a sin. But spiritual blindness, man, that's another ball game, an entire different ball game. And we see so many people that are walking around each and every day thinking that they see and they see not. Even in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we supposed to have our spiritual eyes open that we may be able to relate to those spiritual things about Christ Jesus, but yet we have blinded ourselves. Man, it is sad to see brothers and sisters who supposed to be in the light and are not in the light. And just let me give you an illustration of one. I was talking to a brother I used to work with at Alabama A&M. And this brother was a member of the Lord's body and had been a member of the Lord's body, raised in the Lord's body from his youth. And he couldn't God, the Jews were God's chosen people. He couldn't see people in the church as God's chosen people. It was always related to the Jews. And brothers and sisters, when you see those people over there, and you say that they are God's chosen people, then you don't know the scriptures. You don't know the scriptures. Let's look at it for instance. Go to John chapter 12 with me, please. And watch what Jesus says, because this relates to verse 4 and 5. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. I want you to understand here, even though we are members of the body of Christ, we can be overwhelmed by the blindness of darkness. See, we can darken our hearts. We can let seeds of hatred grow there, envy, jealousy, all of those things. And even though you are a baptized believer, you can become blind simply because you will not walk in the light. You're not walking the light. In other words, you won't follow the commands of Jesus. Look what he says. But he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. See, you can't see. And we tend to think that, hey, that's just me. Well, me need to be changing, don't you think? If that's just you, if you allow these seeds of darkness to fester into your life, that you will take little things and hold it against your brothers or your sisters. When you let those little seeds germinate and grow and they stand out, and we not only are blind, we are lost. I want you to understand that. See, brothers and sisters, as long as you're walking this walk, you're making changes in your life. Things are being revealed to you. Your eyes are being opened to more of the spiritual things. That's the reason why the Colossian writer writes in Colossians chapter 3 that we should set our minds on things that are above and not on things of this earth. See, we see all of this stuff that's floating around in the earth, and we see the darkness, and we fall into the trap. I'm trying to get you to see that we need to walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's look a little bit further. While you have the light, believe in the light that ye may be the children of what? Of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Walk as children of light. Let's go to the next verse. But thou he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed. Wait, you're an eyewitness. You see these things. You know these things, and you still don't believe. You're in darkness. You're blind. You are spiritually blind to who Jesus says he is. Skip down to verse number 40 right there, Reg. Watch what it says. He had blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts and be converted that I should heal them. You see the problem? Even in the book of Isaiah, because this is a quote from Isaiah, here are people hearing this truth, and they have hardened their hearts to it. Therefore, they're blind and cannot see. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand this one point. If you don't understand anything else, it is imperative that we grow. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 teaches us this. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are what? Lost. Next verse. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Go back, Gretchen, to verse 4 again. Look here. He has blinded the mind. Y'all understand what he's saying to you? Hey, it is because you allowed him. It is not because the truth is not apparent to us. It is not because the truth is not available to us or for us. It is because we have allowed Satan to come in our hearts and blind us. And therefore, we will not accept the truth. I've heard brothers say out of their own mouth, I don't care what that Bible says. I've heard that. He's blind. When you don't care what the word of God says, you're blind. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. I'm trying to get you to understand that it is imperative that we grow spiritually, that we mature in the gospel of Christ, that our hearts won't be blind to the tricks of Satan. Won't be blind. How do I know that? Go to 2 Peter. I want to go to verse number 9 there first. 2 Peter, verse number 9. Watch this. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. What things? Now that's the question. That what things? He that lacks these things is blind. Go back to verse number 5 now. Watch what the Bible says. And besides these things, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Hey, we need to be people that are adding these spiritual qualities to our lives that we can grow thereby. See, you can't stay babes. You cannot be ignorant of the will of God and expect to be saved. Too many people are basing their religious convictions on a hope and a prayer. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They hoping God will save them. I want to know if God is going to save me. And 1 John teaches me that I can know. But I got to be adding these qualities to my life. He says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Man, there's a lot of people need temperance in the church. And they blow up in a... Y'all know it? I know it? Blow up in a flat sucker. Godliness? What's that, bro? Come on. See, we have to walk in the light as children of the light. We have to walk in the light. Let's continue on. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and bound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to know him. We need to have that personal relationship with him. You know, he says, if they abound, if they double, if they triple, if they grow, you shall neither be barren. That means a woman that is barren can't have children. You can't be fruitful. You can't produce. You can't spread this glorious gospel if you don't know it and live it. Someone talked to me the other day and said to me, he said, Brother James, just seem like, you know, I just can't seem to bring anybody to Christ. I raise the question, how are you really living? Because your life is the light. Your life is the light. And brothers and sisters, the reason why we can't bring people is because we're not allowing the light to shine in our lives. Again, the only thing the people see is that we are just like them. We believe just like them because we don't have enough knowledge to explain the difference, that they can see the difference in our lives. I'm telling you, we need to take the scales off our eyes that we may be able to see ourselves that we are truly the children of God. Because blindness, spiritual blindness, is a sin. That's what we need to understand now. Now, again, he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. You see how important knowledge is of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9. But he that lacks these things is what? Blind. And cannot see afar. And have forgotten that he was purged from his sin. What he's literally saying here is that people can be legally blind, but they still see a little bit. Y'all understand? I mean, they can be considered legally blind, but yet they can't see very far. Everything is in obscureness. They barely can only make out shadows and stuff. We don't want to be those kind of people. Because when we go back and look at Eli's life and 1 Samuel, man, he could see shadows. But he overlooked what his sons were doing. Read it. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Man, they were just wicked. And Eli just see and don't see. We need to understand this. Spiritual blindness is sin. Look what he says again. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and had forgotten that he was what? Purged from his sins. Brothers and sisters, I want you to leave you with this thought. You can be physically blind and still be saved. But if you are spiritually blind, you are condemned. It's that simple. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to truly see and understand that if we don't grow and become more spiritual, more like our Lord, then we are lost in our own sins. So I want to encourage you tonight, if you need prayer for anything, please let your acknowledgement be known and let us pray for each other. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to God, this is your opportunity now while we stand and sing the invitation song.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for